Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome once again to another Harvest Report here on Down on the Farm as we move through the 2025 harvest season. Catching up with a guy that we try to solve all the world's problems in just a few minutes, and that's Stu Sheets. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. We couldn't have asked for a better harvest. No rain. In fact, most guys would welcome a rain during harvest, but we haven't had a break for so long. I don't know when the last time I had a break. You sure know what you're going to do the next day because there's no rain to keep you out of the field.
It has been an unusual harvest. We're used to having a couple of showers here and there. You're down for a day or so, do a little maintenance, and you're back at it.
Yes, those opportunities have been very few and far between.
So let's look back at the growing season. First of all, did you get things planted in a timely manner?
Yes, I was done planting everything by May 3rd. Now, boy, this is really going to be a year to remember. Well, by golly, guess what? It's going to be a year to remember.
It certainly is. Now, those guys south of here, some of them were still planting in June.
Yes, they got caught in the provincial rain barrel down there. They couldn't buy a break.
I remember talking to one guy, and it was the 10th of June, and they were just getting started on beans at that time.
That makes corn planting pretty late, don't it?
Sure does. So you got all your beans in April?
Yeah, I got all my beans planted in April and got done planting corn May 3rd.
That is amazing. We got some timely rains over the summer. August did turn dry and September was dry. That hamper the beans at harvest time?
Oh, yeah. It took the top yield off. Beans, they were small. They just didn't get a chance to make much growth in them. A lot of them only had two beans in a pod. Some had three, but you had to kind of hunt for those.
Usually we need that August rain to make it happen.
Yeah, if we'd had August rain, I think we'd have had a whale of a bean crop, but it didn't happen. That's part of farming. You take the good with the bad.
Well, the common theme I've heard so far this fall with guys harvesting beans is how fast they dried down and you had to get to them quick.
Oh, yeah. Every day seemed like it was 90 degrees and hot and a breeze was blowing. You could start beans at 14 and come mid-afternoon, they were down to 10 or 11.
Yeah, it didn't take long to drop, and I even talked to a few guys that was taking it out at 8 or 9.
That's awful. You have to do that, but when you look at a forecast and there ain't no rain for 10 days, they're just going to get drier.
That's exactly right. So you can see why a lot of guys want to get on these beans first.
Oh, yeah. Get them out while you can. Have some moisture in them. It's always nice to sow a little water.
So you split the corn up a little bit. We're in a cornfield this afternoon. You opened some up a few weeks ago and then waited for this field here to dry down a little bit better.
I got my dry corn done over a week ago and I opened up some other fields and it was just a little bit higher in moisture than I wanted, so I laid off a week and by golly, it come down over 2 percentage points lower. We're going now.
Mother Nature doesn't charge for drying.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't. And she does an excellent job, normally. That sun's free.
Let's look at the soybean yields. Numbers were good overall?
I'd say average overall. Okay. I wouldn't say good. I've heard some people say, oh, you're going to be surprised. Well, I was surprised they made what they made, but there's no doubt they could have been better if we'd had that rain in August.
Oh, no question about it. That was the key right there.
I mean, not that 70 bushel beans is horrible, but the way things started out, we thought we was going to do better than that, but we're really too good at what we do. We got so much excess now that we don't know what to do with it. Nobody wants to buy it, so bean harvest was one of the dirtiest, dustiest harvests I think I've been through in a long time.
Corn, on the other hand, from guys I've been talking to, they've been pretty happy with the yields. They've been pretty good.
I don't know where Mother Nature got this corn yields. Yeah, they're fabulous. I don't know how it did it.
Well, you look at what they're doing with these hybrids and traits today, Stu. They put a lot of research into it. It seems to withstand drought conditions better, seems to withstand moisture better. All around, it's just a much better trait today.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt that breeding had a lot to do with it, but it still boggles my mind that they can tell this corn stalk, oh, you can survive without rain. I didn't know they could do that.
But there is a price, of course, tied to that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's always a price. Yeah, there's always somebody who wants their hand in the pie for that technology.
Now we're going to talk about your favorite part, and that's marketing, because you're an expert of marketing, right?
Don't follow my marketing plan.
You think about all the years you've been farming. It has got to be the hardest part of the job of farming, isn't it?
I believe it is. The rest of it, we have more control over when we plant, what we plant. We got a lot of choices, but it seems like when it comes to marketing, especially now with the tariffs going on and nobody buying nothing, it's going to be a hard decision.
Yeah, it's a guessing game sometimes.
Yes, and more so now because we can't outguess what our government's doing right now. I have no idea what the long-term effects is going to be with tariffs and China not buying, nobody buying our stuff. It's going to be tough.
It sure is. And, you know, we talked about South America. You know, we went down there and taught them how to plant, grow, and now they're using that against us.
Oh, yeah. It kind of bit us, you know what, shot ourselves in the foot. A lot of that's got to do with, in my opinion, greed, taking out the rainforest to grow crops, and in the long term, that's a bad deal.
And we know what happens when you got too much supply and not enough demand, what happens to the price.
That's where it's at right now in the tank. We all know the world population keeps expanding and growing, and you would think that eventually we could get caught up, but there again, the breeding, the soybeans and stuff we raise is so much advanced. We can probably keep up. I don't know what the right answer would be to get the surplus of corn gone.
Well, Matt, and you look at the input costs, they're not going down.
No, our inputs, they go up every year, but surprisingly enough, this year my seed corn went down a few bucks a bag.
That's because you're living right.
Well, there's one of them problems solved, Dave.
I knew you'd have the answer to that. But you're right. When you plan for next year's crop, these are all factors you have to consider.
Yes, they seem to go up no matter what. If corn's $3.50 or $7.50, they just go up.
So when guys are talking about cash rent, when you talk to other farmers, what do you think is going to happen in that area right now? Do you think we've stabilized as far as cash rent, or do you think we're going to see much of an increase going into 2026?
Oh, I don't see them going up. I see them probably softening. I don't know how, with everything as expensive as it is, that those prices could go up. They might stabilize. I kind of see that they might go down a little.
Well, farmers I talk to, they would rather cash rent from a guy that has owned that farm, maybe he farmed it prior before retiring, than some land investor that lives in Chicago somewhere.
Oh, most definitely. That investor's all for the mighty you know what, and he'd care less if you make money. If you fold, there'll be somebody right behind him say, oh, hell, I'll do that. I'll take that.
These are probably some of the toughest times you've seen in farming for a while right now.
It's not fun like it used to be. I mean, I still enjoy farming. That's why I'm still going at it, and I should have been retired, but I still enjoy what I do. I like the challenge most of the time, but I can see where the indicators to me is there's not going to be so many small family farms in the future. They're going to be swallowed up by mega farmers.
And that's what we don't want to see happen, because let's face it, it was the family farms that made this country.
Oh, most definitely. Them mega farmers, I'm not sure the drive behind that to farm that much, but there must be a reason.
Obviously, it's to make money, but no one will take care of that farm better and that land better than that family farmer.
Oh, no, you're right. There's probably some of them mega farmers that do what they're supposed to do, but we all know that there's some that don't.
So when you close up the harvest season, you look toward 2026, anything you can think of right now you're going to change going into the 2026 growing season?
I'm going to predict more rain for 26.
That'll be good.
I've been doing this a long time, and I can always say I've never had one year not back to back the same, ever. Some's been spaced apart that were pretty close to what we've had before, but every year there seems to be a different challenge.
They're talking about a farm aid package right now. What are some of the things that you'd like to see the government offer right now that would help farmers?
My opinion, they've caused this problem. Us as farmers, we hate the idea of the government bailing us out, if that's what they want to call it. We don't like that. We'd rather go with demand and let the chips fall where they may. With supply and demand is what makes everything run the way it should. And when we make other countries mad at us or don't want to buy our stuff, that's a bad deal for us.
Sure is, and that's got to get straightened out. You just want a fair price for the produce produced.
Yes. If fertilizer prices go up, then we should get that compensated, so to speak, in the price of what we sell our grain for. But we're not in control of that by any means. I'm not sure how the price is exactly set. I'm not that market savvy.
You touched on it earlier. You got into farming because you enjoyed it. Well, let's face it, that takes the enjoyment out when you got to sit there and worry about whether I should sell at this price or should sell at that price.
Yes, especially with no driving force that anybody can see that it's going to change in the next 3, 4, 5 years.
We touched on the equipment costs, we touched on the input costs. They're not going down.
You know, implement dealers, they are feeling the pinch. There's not too many guys that are willing to go out and buy a $800,000-$900,000 combine just because. It just don't flow.
Well, Stu, I appreciate your resilience and hanging in here all these years. And it's farmers like you and the other family farmers out there that have been committed to agriculture all these years that have made farming what it is today.
Well, when my dad started farming, like a lot of other dads probably did, 300 acres or so, you can make a living off of that. Now that's a minimum wage. You can't make nothing.
You got to have a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And we've got to do something to keep the family farms alive. Right now, you just don't see a lot of young people going into farming.
Well, they can't afford it, Dave. And I wish we had the answer to go back to the mid-80s and 90s when things were just clicking along like they should.
Well, let's touch on the fair a little bit. Looking forward to 2026 Georgetown Fair. Can you tell us what some of the things may be in the works right now?
Well, we really haven't got down to the brass tacks of what's going to happen. I know that we have not done well in the past years on concerts, and I know we're not starting on the 4th of July because that's on a Saturday, and it's going to start on July 11th. But we are not sure what the scheduling might be. We'll find out more when we go to Springfield to the fair convention. There might be a few changes. We've talked about shortening the fair some. Yep. We've talked about canceling a few events. We don't want to keep losing money.
We talked about farming being expensive. Well, it's been expensive to put a fair on the last few years too.
Yes, especially in the entertainment field. Man, oh man, they just went up so high. To get a good entertainer, a lot of people don't want to pay $45-$50 a ticket. Yep. Well, that might be what it takes to get a good entertainer there. We don't want to do that. There's a lot of decisions that we got to make.
Well, Stu, it's always a pleasure catching up with you. We always have a lot of fun.
Yes, we do. We've had a good relationship for many, many years, and we just have a good time together.
That's what it's all about. It can't be all serious all the time.
Oh, no. If I can't have a laugh or two a day, it's a boring day.
That's exactly right, bud. Well, thank you for allowing me to ride along. And folks, as I wrap this up, no breakdowns. Verify that.
Well, I'm not to the end of the row yet, Dave.
That's Stu Sheets joining us here with this Harvest Report. And we are at a cornfield near Forest Glen. Park it here for more Harvest Reports. We'll have more later in the week. Coming up next is your favorite weather guy, Greg Soye.
Greg, oh, buddy. I hope he said it's going to rain sometime.
I think he said something maybe this weekend. We'll find out. Greg Soye's next here on Ileana's Farm Choice, WITY.